Kia ora. Kofu smithaho. Nā mai ki te whare. Welcome to the House. In the last year or so, Parliament has heard some unusually good and thoughtful valedictory speeches from outgoing MPs. Just a few weeks ago, for example, from Labour's Grant Robertson, or late last year from National's Todd Muller. This week, it was former Green leader James Shaw. And so today on the show, we have highlights from his farewell address.
One night during the course of the 2017 election campaign, I was so exhausted that I swallowed my tongue in my sleep. And I woke up, it didn't feel funny at the time, I woke up on the floor on my hands and knees, choking it back up. That was a difficult campaign. When Parliament rose for the six-week election period, I delivered the adjournment debate speech for the Green Party. And 10 minutes before I was due to speak, I got the news that the Colmar-Brunton poll that night had us down 11 points. We were on 4%. It seemed likely at that point that I was about to become the last leader of the Green Party and to deliver the last speech by a Green Party MP in Parliament. Well, 12 weeks later, I was Minister of Climate Change. I was on my way to Germany for the United Nations annual climate summit, but first I had to stop over in Rome to meet the Pope. Now, there isn't a roller coaster on this planet that comes close to the white-knuckle ride that is politics. And I am simultaneously saddened and elated to be leaving it. Actually, I am mostly elated to be leaving it. I've been in Parliament for 10 years, Green Party co-leader for 9, 6 as a Minister of the Crown. And I have to say, it has not been easy to work out what it is that I want to say here at the end of it all. There are a great many people to whom I owe a profound debt of gratitude. Sometimes in these speeches, Mr. Speaker, the acknowledgements come at the end, but I'm going to start with them, because if there is one thing that I want to express, it is gratitude. In the middle of the 2011 election campaign, I was set up on a blind date by the Green Party's campaign director, Megan Salol. And like any good political operator, Megan understood the power of informational asymmetry. She briefed me on her friend Annabelle with a slide deck full of photos and bits of information, whilst telling Annabelle almost nothing about me at all. Presumably because if she had, Annabelle wouldn't have shown up. So my date was surprised to learn that her date was running for Parliament in that year's general election. But she saw past that small flaw and many others, and 18 months later we were married. Now, Annabelle chose this life. She chose a life with a husband who's either choking to death from exhaustion or off overseas meeting the Pope. She chose to sacrifice the next 10 years to it, and she would have chosen another 3 had we won another term in government. After that, she would have filed for divorce. This has never been just my journey. It's always been ours. Everything I have here, I owe to you. You have not sought nor received nearly the recognition that you deserve for your part in enabling me to play mine. So thank you. I love you. Mr. Speaker, I wasn't elected in 2011, so unfortunately I couldn't cast my vote for the Marriage Equality Bill in 2013. My parents, Suzanne and Cynthia, have been together since the 1980s, and it meant a great deal to me to see their love recognised as equal to anybody else's. Thank you for being here tonight and always.
James Shaw went on to thank a dizzying range of people, which gave a glimpse into just how much work goes on behind the various curtains of politics and government. We'll rejoin him at the point where he particularly talked about 3 friends.
I have many more friends than enemies now, Mr. Speaker, and I think the ratio is about 3 to 1. And so there are 3 friends in particular that I want to acknowledge. So I'm a liberal lefty from the Arrow Valley, fairly famously. So if you asked me at the start of my career who I thought that I would become close friends with, my first pick would not be a Catholic conservative from Tauranga. But in the face, I have to say, of strong political headwinds, Todd Muller earned my trust, my respect, with his integrity and his commitment and his candour. New Zealand would not have an enduring Zero Carbon Act or a Climate Change Commission without him. And I have to say, there are moments when this place has a way of showing you who your true friends are. And it turns out he's one of mine. Through four election campaigns, I enjoyed the great pleasure of standing alongside Grant Robertson in Wellington Central. There was one year we did 36 public meetings, sometimes two a night, and we finished, I can see some nodding heads over there who are familiar with Wellington Central, we finished with the Mount Victoria Residents Association. And by that point, Grant and I had repeated our stump speeches so often that we considered swapping them to see if anybody noticed. And then local resident, the Right Honourable Dr. Sir Geoffrey Palmer QC, presumably agonising about who to vote for, showed up to cross-examine us on the Resource Management Act. So Grant and I thought the better of things and decided to behave ourselves. It was an honour and a pleasure to work with Grant in government, including as a term as his Associate Finance Minister. And I have to say, there have been a lot of awful things said about Grant recently, but in my experience, he is one of the most decent, principled and thoughtful people I have ever met, and the most talented politician of my generation. And I remember meeting a promising youth-adjacent Labour candidate in 2008 when we were both living in London and campaigning for the expat vote for our respective parties. And at the time, she was the president of the International Union of Socialist Youth. And I said that I didn't realise that socialists weren't allowed into the Labour Party. which I might not have said if I'd known that 9 years later I was asking her to make me her climate change minister, but I'm profoundly grateful that she did, because serving in Jacinda Ardern's government was the privilege of my lifetime. She is a woman of humility, service, intelligence and integrity, and she also deserves better than she has been receiving. Grant and Jacinda were the best of us.
He spoke about just how many natural and man-made disasters recent governments have faced and how that has impacted on good and enduring policy. He also reminded the audience that New Zealand is now the world leader in species extinction. He spoke about his intention to now go back into the world of finance as a lever to climate action. James Shaw had a lot of advice for MPs wanting to move beyond politics as usual, but we'll skip to this.
And what I have learned during my time here is that most issues default to a tug of war over policy differences. It is entirely possible for hard-working, well-meaning people to strive for change for their entire career, but to accomplish very little because there's always someone pulling in the opposite direction, just as hard. So my message to this House is that if you take positions that are lateral to that tug of war and to those entrenched debates, and you build alliances across them, then you can actually radically shift the political centre in your own direction, because there's no one resisting you. And where I did, it worked. The Zero Carbon Act, the Climate Change Commission, the emissions targets and our five-year emissions budgets, our 2030 target under the Paris Agreement and our 2050 net zero targets all seem to have largely survived the change of government, when very little else has. I want to thank the Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Christopher Luxon, for his personal leadership on this. Christopher used to be the CEO of an airline. He was... He was instrumental in establishing the Climate Leaders Coalition. We became friends during that time, and I thank him for his support. I clearly have a fatal attraction for bald Tories. Last week, I'll just let you recover from that for a moment. Last week we got the news that New Zealand's emissions fell for the third year in a row. And whilst methane is still off track, something to do with not being priced, I understand, that we also got the news that we were on track to meet our target of net zero long-lived gases before 2050. In fact, before 2050, at least we were on track as of last July. Andrew Morrison, who is the former president of Beef and Lamb, is in the gallery today. And Andrew got rolled from his job the same year that I was also briefly rolled from mine, and for much the same reason. The partisans in our tribes thought that each of us had sold out to the other. And pressure is building, and the consensus is fraying, and some of those partisans sit in this house, and some of them are now government ministers. So the framework is being quietly sabotaged and subtly undermined, and there is an increasing risk that New Zealand will collapse into the climate culture wars that we see in the United States or Britain or Canada or Australia and elsewhere. And journalists who have been watching this have been asking me what will become of my legacy. And that word makes me very nervous, because the politics and the policy of climate change isn't about me. It's not even about anybody in this house, in this room. It's about people who won't be born for decades and who in their entire lives will never once know any of our names. There's a proverb that civilizations become great when old men plant trees under whose shade they know that they will never sit. In the Waipawa forest stands the great kauri Te Mātua Ngāhere, the father of the forest. That tree is somewhere between 1,200 and 2,000 years old. By the time Kupe chased the great octopus of Muturangi across the ocean and discovered these shores, Te Mātua Ngāhere would have been almost as tall as it is today. At its youngest, it predates Angkor Wat. By the older estimate, Te Mātua Ngāhere may have been a sapling when Cicero was writing about old men planting trees. Mr. Speaker, if I have learned one lesson, it is that we will always need political leaders who can rise above the politics that brought them here. A legacy is not a career or a brand or even a set of laws. The only true legacy that we can leave is to cherish the world that we have inherited and to bequeath a better one for our descendants. Civilizations become great when old men plant trees. This is the only way that any of us will ever create anything that lasts beyond our time in this house or on this earth. Everyone we care about, everything we argue about, happens here on what Carl Sagan calls this pale blue dot, the only home we have ever known. So look after it. Mr. Speaker, it has been my privilege. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa.
You've been listening to the valedictory statement given this week by former Green co-leader James Shaw. As always, you can hear all of any of Parliament's speeches on the Parliament website. You've been listening to The House. E te whakarongo koe ki te whare. This programme is produced with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Mā te wā.